This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Well, 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 sex, health and well-being in our LGBTI communities.
Presented by Joy sponsor VAC, the Victorian AIDS Council.
Hello, welcome to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. My name's Renee and I am joined by my colleague and friend Liam.
Good evening, Renee.
Oh, good evening. How's your Monday been, Dull?
Oh, it's been pretty good. It's been a lovely day here in Melbourne.
Oh, as always. No, that's not true. Melbourne can be really quite fickle. We have an interesting episode for you today, dolls.
Oh, do we ever.
Well, I just surprised Liam with this one, and I think it's one that we'll both be able to talk lots about.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Yep. So today we're going to talk about libido, loss of libido. Should we be concerned if we have lost our libido? You know, your mojo,
yeah.
As they said in Austin Powers. My merger.
Merger.
But yeah, working at VAC and being around all of our wonderful colleagues there, it's a very sex-positive environment, isn't it, Liam?
Incredibly so. It's really cool to be able to be in an environment where you're allowed to be that open about who you are and the fact that we're all having sex.
We're all doing it.
Uh-huh.
We wouldn't be here if we weren't.
Nope.
But yes, sexual health is a big part of what we do at VAC, but we forget sometimes that sexual health isn't just about avoiding and treating STIs. It's about feeling sexy. And it's about having a healthy well-being in sex, as well as all of the important medical stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It encompasses all aspects of our sexual health.
And our sexuality.
Yes.
Mm. Mm. Well, you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
This is Well, 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 presented by Joy sponsor VAC on Joy 94.9.
Hi again, Liam.
Well, hello, Renee.
I was just about to call you William.
Oh, okay.
It's like a cross between William and we.
Well, I mean, everyone pees, I guess.
Yes. Hello, Liam.
Hello, Renee.
As the person before us said, you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Liam.
Yes, Renee.
You were at Northside Bazaar last Saturday.
As were you.
Wasn't it fabulous?
Oh my God, so much fun.
Were you feeling sexy last Saturday at Northside Bazaar?
Well, I think I'm always feeling sexy, but I was feeling especially sexy on Saturday at Northside Bazaar.
You were looking pretty sexy.
Oh, stop it.
I'm not sure if any of you know, but Liam likes to wear rubber and he looks damn good in it as well.
Yeah. I mean, they don't give a sash to just anyone.
Oh, dull. So Liam was also in the dunk machine that
yes.
Eagle Leather had there, getting all wet for charity.
Yes, I went down 4 times. and I think my little 230 to 3 slot earned about $200,
$300. Wow, it was worth it to get wet.
Oh, absolutely. It was actually really fun. People felt really bad throwing the ball to try and make me fall in, so I had to like yell encouraging things because it was really fun.
Yeah, it looked fun and a great fundraiser thanks to Eagle Leather. Northside Bazaar, if you haven't heard of it, is a kinky street festival with everything from leather to rubber, puppy play, whatever your kink is, it's kind of there, right?
Yeah, it's like a little miniature version of the Folsom Street Festival in San Francisco / Berlin.
Yeah, when I first started working with VAC, my first VAC event that I attended was Northside Bazaar, and I was like, I'm home.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so queer. It's so open. It's only going from strength to strength. It's getting bigger and bigger, and I cannot be more proud to have been a part of it.
Definitely, and we loved having you there. So it's a fundraiser for VAC and Joy, and it's just a wonderful environment of sexy self-expression. There's lots of people wearing not very much. And
yeah, and we get to take it to the streets and
yeah.
Kink up the Masonic Hall.
Yeah, I was also really pumped because I got to go into the Laird my one time per year.
Oh, yes.
What a pub. I just love it. I want to be able to go there all the time, but I totally understand how important it is to remain the space that it is as well.
Oh, I love it so much. It feels like my home.
Yeah, I can see why. And it's surprisingly really clean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they... you got to clean it pretty often.
Yeah. Well, I think what I enjoyed the most was just standing and watching everything unfold, because there was lots of shows on stage and they were really kinky and exciting, but also just watching everybody like make out with each other, and it was just lovely.
Yeah, it's just this beautiful, free, open self-expression galore bonanza.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even put it properly into words. I love it.
It was overwhelming, but in a good way.
Oh, you know it.
So in this episode, we're talking about libido, aka mojo, aka horn. You got any other words?
Oh, your groove.
Oh, your groove. Yeah, we're talking about libido. And in certain parts of the community, in the lesbian, in the L part of the community, they talk about lesbian bed death.
Now, I've heard that expression used quite a bit, but I've never actually understood what it means. So what does somebody talking about when they're talking about lesbian bed death?
Well, when I mentioned it one time in company, someone thought that it was like cot death, but for lesbians. Yeah, it's just like lesbians waking up dead in their bed.
Sudden lesbian death syndrome.
Yeah. And you can kind of understand why. It's a pretty harsh term.
Yeah, it's aggressive and morbid, I would say.
Yeah, but essentially it just means when two women or two people who identify as women are in a relationship together for quite some time, the sex kind of disappears, the libido disappears, and yeah, that's where they've titled it lesbian bed death.
Like right off the bat, I would say that's a fairly unfair stereotype, because I feel like many relationships go through that loss of libido fairly commonly. Seems like a pretty natural thing, and it's pretty harsh to throw that all on the L part of our community.
Yeah, it's not just the L's. You know, everyone's got a libido, and it's actually something that lots of us have at different points in our life can either have more or less of.
Yeah, absolutely.
And soon we're going to play an interview that I did with the wonderful Cindy Darnell, who's a sex therapist and educator. And I just go straight to it and ask her about lesbian bed death and find out what her opinion is.
Ooh, she's giving us the tea.
She is dull. She absolutely is. So after this quick break, we'll be back with Cindy Darnell talking about lesbian bed death. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Hi, Liam.
Hi, Renee.
I'm really enjoying doing the show with you today.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Looking into your eyes.
Oh, looking into your eyes. Our baby blue's locking. And yet none of us are interested in each other.
Oh, what a waste.
Oh, well.
We could make cute ones.
You win some, you lose some.
So we're talking today about libido, or loss of libido, or what that even means. And so we did the old Google to find out what Google or Wikipedia says libido actually means.
So what does Google/and/or Wikipedia define a libido as?
Colloquially known as sex drive or desire for sexual activity influenced by biological, psychological, and social factors. The rest was like way too scientific, and so I didn't write that down.
Ah.
But essentially your libido is your sex drive or your sexual desire.
Okay. Well, I went to a less official source to get my definition. I went to the old Urban Dictionary.
Oh, no.
Which gave us a couple of different definitions.
I can't wait to hear them.
The first being, it's a great word, a human being's sex drive, and also a line from that Nirvana song. which then quoted the line, a mulatto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido. Another definition, which was a little bit less politically incorrect, was the vanity license plate of an individual with an incredibly small penis.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, thank God for Urban Dictionary for comic relief, if anything, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, earlier on, I mentioned that we're going to be talking to Cindy Darnell. She's a wonderful human with lots of very interesting stuff to say on libido.
Uh-huh.
She is a sex therapist and educator, based in Melbourne, but does work all over Australia.
Fabulous.
Yeah, she's great. So let's go on over and have a listen to what I had to say to Cindy, or what she had to say to me, sorry.
So whenever we were talking about different topics for the radio show, I announced that I wanted to do one about lesbian bed death, and all of the gay guys that worked with me just looked at me with this really confused look. And so I attempted to explain what this meant, and they were still confused. Mm-hmm. So what do you know about lesbian bed death?
Well, I don't think it's a diagnosis as such.
It's something we've come up with within the community.
Someone named it that.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's a bit more of a stereotype than an actual thing, because I do work with a lot of lesbian identified clients. I work with a lot of bi women, queer women, straight women, and men, all kinds. But what I do notice with my lesbian couples or lesbian individuals in particular is that there can be a bit more of an emphasis on working through relationship issues or mismatched libidos that can be often the cause of what is known more broadly as lesbian bed death.
Yeah.
Because there tends to be, and this is very, very broad, but lesbian couples, what they have going for them in their favour is that there can be a real emphasis on wanting to process emotions and really talk things through thoroughly, which from a therapeutic perspective is great. And what can be problematic with that approach is sometimes you don't need to completely solve the problem. Sometimes it's helpful just to get on the horse and start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, look, there are pros and cons with whichever approach you take, but there can be, I think where this lesbian bed death thing comes from is the very strong emphasis on processing emotions, which is great, except for when it derails eroticism, which can happen.
That's a really good way of putting it. Thank you. Is it just lesbians or women that experience this loss of libido?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I see it. I don't work with a lot of gay men, and it's not because I don't want to. I think it's because maybe they look at me or they look at my website and think, what do you know about gay men fucking? And they have a point, but I do know a lot about fucking, so let it be said. But what I have seen is that with the gay male clients that I do have, or bisexual male clients and heterosexual male clients, is that definitely libido is not a gender thing. It's a human thing,
mm-hmm.
And it is affected by a variety of things, hormones included, but also things like self-esteem, education, well-being, age, ability, and relationship problems, stress, all kinds of stuff affect our ability to have sex in whatever that means for you, but also our wanting to. So, and for fellas, your people with penises even, there can really be an emphasis on needing to have an erection in order for sex to happen. And a lot of people with penises really struggle with that. I would say categorically that if we're talking about cis men, at some point in his life, every cis man is going to experience a problem either with getting erections, sustaining erections, or ejaculation problems. This is incredibly common, so much so that I actually wouldn't even call it a dysfunction. It can be a dysfunction if it's an ongoing thing, but as an intermittent experience, it's actually part of the human, you know, sexual experience. So that's often how men will experience a physiological interruption to their desire, but sometimes also they are just like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it with you, partner. I want to do it with someone else. And people freak out when that sort of stuff happens. And I get why. I get it, because it's a taboo. It's a social taboo to think that way. It's certainly a social taboo to speak that way. So people feel really isolated in their experience. And that's often when they will come to me, because they've been nutting it out in their minds for however long. And then they're like, oh, I've got to go and see somebody about this. And I'll be invariably the person, because I can't talk to my doctor, I can't talk to my mum, I can't talk to whoever. And they want a stranger who is able to talk about sex, and I mean sex as in fucking, not as in, you know, cuddling and you know, making babies or any of those lovely things, the actual nuts and bolts of sex.
Yeah.
And it's really important that we get to talk about that still.
Mm. And what advice would you give, or what could people do if they're experiencing a lack of sex drive or loss of libido?
First thing I always ask clients to reflect on is, why do they want this to change? Because the default assumption is, but everybody wants sex, you know, or that's a marker of a healthy life, is to be having lots of sex. We tend to overemphasize quantity rather than quality. So when people say, I don't want to have sex, I need to always find out, well, so why do you want this to change? Because when people are saying, I don't want to have sex, what they sometimes mean is, I don't get in the mood necessarily, but I'm still having sex once a week. And after 20 minutes in, I actually find that I'm quite happy with it. But what I'm noticing is that the desire, the impetus to do it isn't there. But once I start doing it by myself or with my partner, then I'm actually fine. But I feel like something's wrong with me because the mood doesn't come before I start doing it. I've got to start doing it and then the mood comes. Because we've got this idea that we have to be in the mood in order to do it. And I'm really interested in flipping that script around and saying, well, what happens if we do it? It's like going to the gym, you know? Some people like going to the gym, sure. But the vast majority of us, the alarm goes off at 6 a.m. We look outside and it's cold and rainy, especially in Melbourne. So I'm not going to the gym. I don't want to go to the gym. And then you're like, no, think about the abs or think about the whatever or think about whatever your motivation is. It doesn't matter, your blood pressure. If you have a motivation for doing something, whatever it is, you'll get up and haul yourself to the gym. And once you're there and you're on the treadmill and you're sweating, and then you're like, actually, I'm really glad I'm here. This is great. Sex can be a similar approach. You don't have to be like, yay, sex, to think, I've got to, this is how it's going to be, or I have to be in the mood to actually get on and do it. Sometimes just starting with touching or kissing or whatever can be enough of an impetus for the mood to come. So not to get too caught up in being in the mood, and not to get too caught up in conflating frequency with quality.
That's really great advice and a great analogy, actually.
Thanks. I talk about this a lot.
Yeah. That was all the questions I really had to ask. Did you have any other comments you wanted to make? You have a CD series available.
Yeah, so my video series is called The Atlas of Erotic Anatomy and Arousal, and that's on my website, cindydarnell.com. I actually, about the desire thing, I do actually have an online class called The Desire Series, which is also on my website. If you go to the online classes, it's all there. You can navigate your way through it. But the main lacks that of information that folk have is around pleasure stuff and around libido stuff, because our education system collectively is woefully inadequate when it comes to pleasure and libido and, you know, the fun things. So I really go out of my way to fill those gaps, as it were. And gap filler, that's what I do. Yeah, so that's why a lot of my work is focused on the stuff that some of the broader mainstream health organisations don't cover. Some of the more mainstream approaches to, you know, sexual health, where they are really out of touch, is that they are not focusing on the reasons people have sex in the first place. And when we eliminate those motivations, we really are going to miss a huge portion of the population.
Mm. Well, thank you, Cindy. That's You're been welcome. Really informative.
Well, wasn't that a fabulous interview with Cindy Darnell?
Oh my God, I love her.
She's a boss-ass bitch.
Total boss-ass bitch.
Yeah, she's got a lot of really good stuff to say and a good sense of humor to boot.
Totally.
So there was so much good stuff.
That was a meaty interview.
Yeah, it feels encouraging to hear from someone as experienced as Cindy that, yes, we all experience a loss of libido, but we don't need to worry so much about it.
Yeah, I mean, she was touching on a lot of stuff that I've worried about with my own libido for years. I'm not always in the mood. And as a gay guy, that can sometimes be a little bit of a stigmatizing issue. And, you know, I've been worried that maybe there's something wrong with me. But as she said, sometimes when you just give it a burl, you get into it.
It all gets there in the end. Yeah, that's the thing as well. It's like, if you're really hard on yourself, you're actually only going to make it worse.
Yeah.
And more difficult. And so try not to overthink it.
And also, I think there does need to be a bit of normalization around the fact that for guys, sometimes it is hard to maintain an erection.
And from speaking to some friends who are trans, who have been through HRT and stuff, that can really play with your libido as well.
Yeah.
It can either make it super extreme or completely disappear for a while. And so, yeah, it's about remembering what Cindy says there is, like, what's the intention and why do you want to have sex?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're doing it as just a fun, flippant thing, if you're not really in the mood, then, I mean, don't do it. But if it's a way to forge intimacy and a way to, I don't know, feel close to somebody that you really care about.
Yeah, I think what Cindy was saying there is something that I've thought quite a lot about, where women are super good at talking and processing emotions and feelings. Yeah. And it's easy to get really caught up in that and almost be distracted from what can follow. And so her recommendation is just like, we don't always need to process all of the things. Just get on the horse and get it done.
Get it done.
You don't always need to like feel like it in the moment.
Yeah.
But if you give it a try and just really be intimate with one another for a while, make out for some time, massages,
yeah,
you know, you can really, if you have the intention there, you can really start to build upon it.
And I think it's also worth noting that sometimes just a good makeout session is good enough. Like, if that's all you feel like.
If that's all you feel like.
Then that's awesome. It doesn't have to end in a shower of semen at the end.
in a shower with semen or in a shower of your own semen.
Pecanalist us.
And the other thing that I think is important to remember is, if you're still loving yourself, aka masturbation.
Yep.
That's more important than anything.
Yeah.
It's just like, remember to give yourself some love. And if you're still doing the self-love, it's all sweet.
Yeah. Now, Cindy mentioned a number of links during her interview. So for anyone who's interested, those will be on the page for this episode, which you can find at joy.org.au/well.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
For sexual health, mental health, and your overall well-being, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Yes, indeed. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. I am Liam, and I'm joined by the main host of this episode, Renee.
Hi.
So, Cindy spoke about loss of libido and
yes,
it being not a female-specific thing, that lesbian bed death is not a thing.
It's just bed death.
It's just bed death.
Yeah. Tonight on the show, we're talking about libido or loss of libido, sex drive, horn, mojo.
How Stella got her groove back.
Yeah, exactly. And she did in the end.
And she did.
And there's hope for all of us.
If Stella can do it, so can you.
Yeah, thanks, Stella. Yeah, look, Cindy spoke about loss of libido, and I suppose it's concerning, you know, like, as someone who's in a relationship with a woman, you hear about lesbian bed death,
yeah,
and you're like, oh my God, is this my future? But I feel like there's still hope.
Yes. Yeah. So it's good to know that this is a real natural thing that just happens sometimes in a relationship, and that it comes and goes in like a cycle, not a, this is it, you're done, give up now.
And not always in relationships, isn't that right, Liam? You know, since working at VAC, I come to learn of lots of these really fun, sexy nude parties that happen for, like, people who identify as gay men.
Well, sometimes you're not nude, but yes.
Yeah, but there's nude ones, and there's clothed ones, and there's themed ones.
And there's full rubbery ones.
Oh. Yeah, and I'm always, like, thinking, because I'm a thinker.
Yep.
And I wonder, in these situations, like, I'm sure there's moments where people experience loss of libido or...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think I would say that one of the main causes is the fact that there's a lot of alcohol being served at a lot of these places.
Right. So, Brewer's Drip, they call that,
yeah,
isn't it?
So a bit of whiskey dick.
Whiskey dick? I haven't heard that one.
And it's a really real thing. I mean, sometimes your desire can definitely be there, but nothing's cooperating.
And there's also loss of sensitivity as well whenever there's alcohol and other drugs involved.
Absolutely. And, I mean, that can cause a lot of, like, introspective distress and also a little bit of stigma from people who like to deem you less manly for being unable to perform in a certain situation.
Right. And that happens in these spaces?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I wouldn't say I've had that many bad experiences myself, but it can happen.
That's disappointing. Anyone who does that, you need to stop it right now.
No, I mean, nothing is going to kill your non-existent boner more than somebody shaming you for not being able to perform.
Shaming you. Yeah, that sucks. If you do that, you suck.
Yeah,
don't
exactly.
Don't do it anymore. Or suck more.
Or suck more, yeah. You sure told them, Renee.
I know. Someone needs to say something. But do people rely on other stimulants kind of in those spaces to then help them perform?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that Viagra is definitely around a lot. And it's, I mean, I haven't actually taken it myself.
Yeah.
But I would.
Okay.
I think if I went to the doctor and was like, this is becoming a persistent problem, I would be more than happy to try some for that sort of situation.
Yeah.
Because when you're in that space, like, often you go there with the intention
of having sex. Yeah.
And that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can't perform, that's really disappointing. It kind of can feel like your night has been ruined.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people do take stuff like that. And then there's other substances that people will use.
Illegal substances. Yes.
To get into a certain headspace.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know it happens at a lot of these things.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen it that much, but I found out afterwards that people who've been behaving in a certain way are sometimes being under the influence of those.
Right.
Not that I am condoning this on community radio, but from all reports, it can be a really good experience for some people.
But also within the limits of dosage and stuff, you have to be so careful with a lot of these.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I can't help but think if these spaces existed for women or people who identify as women, that it would just end up being like a massive cuddle party.
Aww.
Like everyone would just be like holding one another.
Sleepover.
Someone did tell me that I think they did try to do like a women in inverted commas party at Wet on Wellington a few years back.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be like lots of women like chilling by the pool naked, making out with each other, but that was about it. Like, there wasn't very much fucking.
Look, I have to say that actually sounds kind of awesome. I would like a dude's make out by the pool party.
Yeah, and I bet you there's heaps of other people who would.
Yeah, it'd just be nice. Actually, I mean, that just sounds like a regular pool party to me.
We're going
to
be having a pool party as part of Midsummer on the 4th of February. Maybe that could just be a make out sesh.
I will say, though, that there are a number of pansexual play spaces and play parties that go on.
That's good to know.
Where, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, maybe having dudes there tends to be the drive for that sort of sexual space.
Yeah.
But it does allow any of the L or B aspects or any other parts of the community that are female identified that wish to get down with other female identified people.
The opportunity.
It gives them a space to do that. Whereas otherwise, you know, there might only be
the all-female.
Yeah,
they don't really exist at the moment.
I mean,
they come and go.
They come and go.
We try, and then everyone gets relationshiped up, and they move in together and get a cat, and then that sort of. Oh no, I'm stereotyping. I'm generalizing, but it's so true.
Sometimes stereotypes are based in a little bit of truth.
Yeah, but yeah, as you were saying, you know, making out and closeness is lots of fun as well, and it's so important, and we should be doing more of it.
Absolutely. I agree.
Well, you're listening to Well, Well, Well. We'll be back soon on Joy 94.9.
You're getting Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Oh, that's so nerdy. I love it.
I know, right?
I'm feeling well, well, well. Are you?
I'm feeling so well, well, well.
You're with Renee and Liam on Well, Well, Well. We're talking about libido tonight. So we had an interview with Cindy Darnell earlier, and she was talking about how pleasure is important, but how intimacy is also really important. You know, like cuddling and spooning.
Oh, I love a good spoon.
Are you a big spoon or a small spoon?
I like both.
Yeah, I like to change it up as well.
Yeah, I think it also it depends on the person's size for me.
Yeah.
If they're bigger than me, I prefer to be a little spoon.
Yeah.
But if they're small and I can like...
It's like a nurturing, protective thing, yeah. Having someone bigger than you do it. But also, when you're in that spoon position, even if the person isn't bigger than you, they still sort of feel bigger than you.
Yeah.
It's really nice. I love a good spoon. Although I can't sleep like that.
No.
You've got to roll over.
Yeah, I will spoon until I'm sleepy and then I'll be like, okay, I'm rolling over.
You literally have to peel myself off people because I get sticky in bed. I get too warm.
Too moist.
Yeah. Oof. Moist. But yes, we are emotional beings and we need love and we need affection more than we need anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wonder, do people use the dating apps, in inverted commas, for snuggles?
And I believe you have a story for this one, Renee.
Well, I have a story, and I know that one person, specifically one of my friends, has attempted to use the apps for snuggles.
Yeah.
So he, one time, I think it was like 3 a.m. after a night out, he pulls open one of the apps. I'm not going to give either of them a plug today.
Uh-huh.
And calls upon one of the people he'd been chatting to for, you know, a couple of weeks, whatever. And
yep.
Was like, hey, want to come round for some snuggles? And obvious, this guy's like thinking, well, you know that spooning leads to forking. So it's 3 a.m. and I want me some. So this guy gets in his car, drives over to my friend's house, knocks on the door.
Yeah.
Not a peep.
Oh,
basically,
no.
My friend had sent the message, come on over, and then nodded off.
No.
But not just nodded off like stone cold dead to the world.
Oh,
like,
no.
Could not hear this person banging on his door. So, like, 3:30 a.m. comes along. This guy's like, okay, this person has fallen asleep on me. Life sucks. I'm just going to go home.
Yeah.
Gets in his car, reverses out of the driveway into a telegraph pole.
Oh, no.
Not only did he not get some, but he also, like, totally screwed up his car.
The crash didn't wake up your friend?
Did not wake up the friend. And so, finally left, ruined car, like, completely not satisfied. And so that's my snuggles on dating app story.
Oh, no. Okay, well, I've kind of got two.
Okay.
One's a dating app and one is someone I met in real life when I was overseas.
Mm-hmm.
I had just, you know, I was out drinking and having a good time with some friends. And I met this very cute tall glass of water. And we went back to mine with the intention of fully getting it on. And about, I don't know, like 8-9 minutes in, I'm like, oh God, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And then like about a minute or two afterwards, he stops and goes, Liam, I'm really sorry, but I'm really tired. Would you mind if we just snuggled instead? And I'm like, oh God, yes, thank you.
Did you just say, I love you? I mean, thanks.
I was thinking it. And I was like, yeah, but let's try again in the morning. And then in the morning we woke up and I was like, oh, I'm still really tired. Do you just want to keep snuggling? And he's like, yes, please. And then after an hour, he's like, let's go get coffee. And I'm like, oh.
The dream diet. Oh.
And the other time was actually in Hong Kong airport.
Yeah.
I had, you know, a couple of hours to kill. And I opened up one of the apps and I met this guy from Guam. And we had like this mini date and we were like holding hands
in the airport
in this little cafe.
That's like that episode of Kath and Kim where Kath and Kale go on holidays to the airport. I love that episode.
Yeah,
did you get matching jumpers?
We did not.
Oh.
In the end he went off to Guam.
What a bizarre but beautiful story.
I think it's just made all the better by the fact that he was from Guam.
I don't even know where Guam is. I'm just going to come out with that.
It's a American U.S. territory in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
I'm not entirely sure where it is exactly.
Is he the only gay in Guam?
I think he might be.
Well, we'd love to hear your stories of being mega needy and calling upon randos for snugs on the dating apps. So if you want to email us your stories at wellwellwell@joy.org.au, we would love to hear from you.
Oh, my God. So much. And if you have particularly enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, or you want to hear it again, or you want to hear previous episodes,
or share it with your friends,
or share it with your friends,
all your Facebook friends,
you can find it on the iTunes store or at joy.org.au/wellwellwell.
You're listening to Well 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 on Joy 94.9. You're joined by Renee and
Liam,
and we've been talking about mojo,
your groove,
your sex drive.
Your, what was it? Horn, that's it.
The horn. It's so filthy, I love it. It's been so much fun hanging with you, Liam, and talking about all the sexy stuff.
Oh, I do love talking about the sexy stuff, and I love talking to you, Renee.
You're a sexy kind of guy, though.
Oh, stop it.
You stop it. I feel like my sexual well-being and just overall well-being is improving by the minute.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I definitely feel a lot better about not necessarily wanting it all the time, and, you know, not maybe not being able to perform all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Cindy has definitely put my mind at ease on a lot of things.
She really knows how to articulate that stuff. Cindy Narnell, you should check her out. She's phenomenal.
And as we've mentioned previously, the links to her website and some of her resources will be available on the podcast page at joy.org.au/wellwellwell.
Cool. And remember, you know, intention is really important when it comes to sex. And you're not always just going to feel horny and ready to go all the time.
Yeah.
But it's about sort of saying, right, I intend on having sex and I intend on enjoying myself. And I'm not going to put too much pressure on myself or on my partner and just, you know, let it happen.
Yeah. And for dudes, you don't have to ejaculate every single time. Not, I mean, porn has taught us that that's the way it ends.
It's ruined us.
It has.
I'm like, so desensitized.
Like, you can just fool around a bit and end it when you feel like it. It doesn't have to be an all-night fuckfest. It can just be a cute little fooling around, you know, touch a penis and then you're done.
Yeah, but if it is an all-night fuckfest,
well,
good
then,
for you.
Yes, high five.
High five from over here. and any word of them putting lesbian bed death onto the Safe Schools curriculum?
Oh, yeah. Definitely that should be on Safe Schools.
I mean, definitely. We need to think about the children. They just don't need to learn about lesbian bed death, do they?
Well, I don't think the children need to learn about lesbians, do they? or anything gay. I mean, they're definitely not going to find that out on their own.
We need to protect the children.
Our children need to be confused and dazed.
But truly, thank the good Lord. Blessed be for Safe Schools, my friend.
And thank you to the Victorian government for stepping up and continuing it.
Yeah.
And in the face of all of this anti-LGBT stuff that we currently are experiencing, the Victorian government's building a freaking pride center.
Yeah. And I can't wait to be part of that.
Oh,
I mean,
amazing.
When you think back, Liam, to what sex education was like when we were at school, like, it was pretty much non-existent. It was very heteronormative.
Yeah.
And so for kids to actually be able to access this information is so amazing.
See, I think I got slightly lucky. My school, weirdly, just being Wodonga High School, nothing that impressive. Actually, I think I had quite a progressive sex ed. I mean, I definitely learned about homosexuality, and I definitely learned enough to understand how to have gay sex safely.
Cool.
I don't think there was much emphasis on it, but there was enough that definitely told me, you know, the basics of it.
Yeah. Well, I think you might be a bit younger than me, though, too. Maybe I'm thinking about when I was in high school.
I'm older than you, actually.
It's decades ago. Yeah, no, doll.
No?
I can't say on air how old I am, but I do look good for my age, if I do say so myself.
Oh. Well, yeah. I'm going to be finding that one out off air.
Yeah. But yes, thank the good Lord for Safe Schools and great sex education, and we need more of it. We
Fabulous.
Need to be talking about pleasure and sex and, you know, sharing stories with our friends, because we build these things up in our head to think that they're just abnormal or not right.
Sex is a part of life.
Conversation. Keep it up.
Just if we're open about sex, it stops being weird.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about all we have time for today, Liam. Thank you so much for hosting with me.
Thank you, Renee.
If you all enjoyed today's show, please check out the podcast afterwards. Happy Monday, everyone.
Happy Monday. Coming up next is 21st Century Women. You are listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.